As we've just prayed, it's exam season for many schools at the moment, whether it's the SATs or GCSEs or A-levels. I can guarantee every teacher will be saying the same thing that I said on many occasions when I was a teacher. Read the question. Time and time again, I found as a teacher that kids would answer what they thought the question was rather than what it really was. I taught in a school which had a lot of children with additional needs. And one of the things we did that made the biggest difference was we pulled loads of teachers out during the SATs to just literally read aloud the questions to the kids. And that made a huge difference to the scores they got. Their biggest problem was that they weren't taking in the question. Now that can happen in life as well. The equivalent to reading the question in life is listening. How many of us fail to listen? Perhaps it's the husband who fails to listen to his wife's struggles before it's too late. Or the well-meaning Christian who delivers a load of tropes to someone in suffering without properly listening to what is going on in their life. Or the arrogant person who will not listen to the challenges of others to fight their sin. Listening is something all of us can grow in. However, in our folly, we often rush to speaking. We think, I'm God's gift to the world. I have an opinion that everyone needs to share. We need to learn to listen. But who do we listen to? Some people will teach lies or foolishness to us. Some people will teach us to go against God's word. When do we listen and when do we not? Well, that's what we're going to cover today. There are six themes about listening that come up in the book of Proverbs. Listening before speaking, listening to the wise, listening to parents, listening to correction, and not listening to fools, and listening to God. And so as we come to God's word now, let's listen carefully to what he has to say to us, particularly through his word. First of all, listening before speaking. I'm sure we've all experienced that time in conversation where someone we're speaking to is clearly waiting for an opportunity to speak rather than really listening to us. And if we're honest, most of us have been that person as well. Proverbs warns us against that. Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. If you've not been with us on the evenings when we've gone through Proverbs, we've said that folly is a mixture of sinful and stupid. It displeases God, it's sinful, but it also makes your life a misery. It is stupid. If you answer before listening, you are a fool, and it will lead you ultimately to shame. Proverbs 18:2 says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. A fool might talk to someone with real insight, but they're not going to benefit from it because they're too concerned to spout out their own ill-thought opinions. Perhaps your mother taught you when you were younger, the Lord gave you two ears and one mouth so you can listen twice as much as you speak. Well, the Proverbs version of this is Proverbs 20 verse 12. Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. God made our eyes and our ears so that we could take in the world around us. Ears so that we can hear wisdom, which we're focusing on today. And eyes so that we can look at the way the world works and make discerning decisions. We should be using these two to take in information before we speak or act. Let's apply that to a few situations. First, if you're looking into Christianity, can I urge you to listen before you speak? People are often quick to jump onto expressing opinions before listening to what the Bible really says. They'll say, for example, oh, the Bible's full of contradictions. And then perhaps you ask, which contradictions do you mean? And they might mumble back that they've never actually read the Bible, so they don't know which contradictions they're talking about. They heard someone say it on the TV once, and they've taken it as gospel. I haven't put my eternal destiny down to hastily reached opinions. Make sure you listen to what Jesus has to say before you rush to an opinion on him. And Christians are the same. I think we think that the best evangelists are the best speakers, but often those who truly listen to others make much more of a difference than those who hastily dive in with pre-prepared answers. I've told you before, I think the evangelist Francis Schaeffer famously said, if I have only an hour with someone who's not a Christian, I will spend the first 55 minutes asking questions and finding out what is troubling their heart and mind. And then in the last 5 minutes, I will share something of the truth. That is a wisdom that fits with what we see in the book of Proverbs. And it's true for giving advice to other Christians too. It's too easy to dive in with advice we heard once upon a time without really listening to hear if it's the right word for this season. Think of a doctor who doesn't really listen to their patient's symptoms and ends up giving them a medicine that makes them worse, not better. Words can be like medicine, but the wrong medicine, like the wrong words, can be poisonous. When we listen, we discern where people truly are. It's not a bad thing to say sometimes, you know, that's a tough one, let me go away and think about that, pray about it and get back to you. In fact, most of us should be doing that a whole lot more. Listening should come before speaking. But who should we listen to? Well, that brings us to our second theme in Proverbs, listening to the wise. Now, what is wisdom in Proverbs? It's not book knowledge. It's not the kind of thing that you can get from a university. It's knowing how to apply God's word to real life situations. So it's not some kind of PhD dissertation on something really minute that seems to have very little application to real life. It's more like, how do I fight this anger problem I have with my kids? How should I approach work? What does a good friend look like? That's what wisdom is, and that's what Proverbs is all about. And Proverbs encourages us to listen to the wise, largely by just giving us these beautiful pictures so we can grasp how wonderful it would be if we took in more of what the wise were saying. So let me read some of them. Proverbs 10, 20 to 21. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. If you knew you could get choice silver for free, you'd go straight to it, wouldn't you? Listening to wise people is that silver. Their lips are the nourishment for our souls. Similar ideas come in Proverbs 10, 31 to 32. From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be silenced. The lips of the righteous know what finds favour, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. The wise have the fruit of wisdom. What finds favour with God comes from them. They're like a tree. Just like an apple tree will give you apples, and a pear tree will give you pears. So a godly, wise person will give you the fruit of knowing how to live your life in accordance with God's word. Similar idea in Proverbs 10, verse 13. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of one who has no sense. The wise spread knowledge. Proverbs 15, 7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not upright. But as well as spreading knowledge, they adorn knowledge. Proverbs 15, 2. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Now, adorn is giving something extra. So in the Bible, the word adorn is often used to describe a bride on her wedding day. A bride was beautiful already, but on her wedding day, her dress, her hair, her jewellery, all of that brings out her beauty to its fullest extent. And a wise person does that with the truth. They don't just tell you what the Bible says, but they show you how it applies to your life in such a way that they make this biblical truth seem even more beautiful. Or Proverbs 13, 13 to 14. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. The instruction of a wise person is like a fountain, which was very valued in a society where it was hot so much of the time. It saves us from the snares of death and sin. Not academic ivory tower knowledge with no practical value, but life and death decisions. The wise person also seeks out knowledge themselves. Proverbs 18, 15. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. Often if you meet someone who you consider wise, they will be very reticent to take that name themselves because they are quick to learn, and that's what gives them wisdom. They're so focused on seeking how to live wisely themselves that they haven't even realized that they are rising above the crowd. Let me encourage you to have a general life habit of being around people who are wiser than you and listening to them. That's one of the great blessings of church and of small group. As you talk to people, you learn from them. Perhaps you talk to a couple who are caring for an elderly parent, and it gets you thinking about your own parents and how you might prepare for the future. Or someone else might share a habit of prayer that they have, and you think that would work for me, and you could put it into practice. Or you visit a person who is in physical suffering, and their example encourages you to lift your eyes off your own paltry problems in comparison and fix your eyes on the things that they are looking at. It is such a blessing to be around people wiser and more godly than you. Sometimes you'll have a particular decision to make, and it's good to gather around you people who are wiser than you are. In the book of Proverbs, of course, Solomon is talking to his son who would be a king. And so the instance he gives is of raging war. And wise people would help him in that. Proverbs 24 verses 5 to 6. The wise prevail through great power, and those who have knowledge muster their strength. Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisers. Now, I don't know that many of us will have to wage a war, although if you want to pass that on to the RAF, that might be helpful to them. But there are many battles that we will have to face in our life. As we face a challenge, we shouldn't dive into it off our own back. We should be seeking the counsel of others. Let me give you an example. Perhaps you're coming out of university and trying to decide what job to do. You might share that with your small group, and there might be some older members of the small group who, once upon a time, believe it or not, also came out of university and had to look for a job, and they could give you some wisdom. Or maybe there's someone in the congregation who has the same job that you want to have, and you could ask them what would be best for you to make your way in that profession. Perhaps you're looking at a job in a certain town, and you could ask someone who used to live there if there's a good church there before you sell your life away to go and work there. All of these things will make you better equipped than just diving in and making a decision on your own. That's the advantage of listening to the wise. Thirdly, listening to parents. As I've said to you, if you've been here on Sunday evening, Proverbs is first and foremost a parenting book. It is about a father speaking to a son. And so it has lots to say about the importance of children listening to their parents. Now, we covered a lot of this when we did the sermon on families, but let me repeat to you quickly for those of you who weren't there. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. Or Proverbs 15 verse 5. A fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Now, every child in Proverbs is what is called in Proverbs language simple. Now, simple is not quite as bad as being a fool. A fool is someone who's heard wisdom and ignored it. A simple person is just someone who doesn't know the right or wrong way yet. However, we know from the rest of the Bible that children are also sinners. And that means the default problem, the default position for children is not to add wisdom, but it's to harden into folly. And it's important to say that in our day, because there's lots of people who think children are born perfect because they look so cute. But actually, they're born simple. They're born not knowing the way to live. And so God, by his grace, has given us parents. Parents have had more years on the planet, and they have learned a lot, maybe by their own mistakes, but they've learned a lot. And believe it or not, if you're a young person here, parents don't actually want to ruin your life. They want to make it better. So a wise son listens to his mum and dad before his friends or the guy on YouTube or even the teacher. And what about non-Christian parents? Well, it's true that Solomon assumes that the people teaching are going to be believers. But in Proverbs, there's also good advice that comes from those who don't believe. And you'll get wisdom from your parents, whether they are Christians or not. All sorts of parents will say very helpful things like, do revision before you play on your phone. That's good advice, whether it comes from a believer or an unbeliever. perhaps they won't be able to advise you on church-related matters. You might have to look for spiritual parents in that way. But generally, our default position should be to listen to our parents, assuming that they want what's best for us. Next, we come to listening to correction, which is such a huge topic. I was tempted to give its own sermon, but we're going to do it now. And I apologize for the quantity of Proverbs. If you can apologize for too much Bible, I don't know whether that's the right thing to do. But Proverbs has a lot to say about correction. And there's three main themes of correction in Proverbs. First, listening to correction is a mark of the wise. And of course, to go with that, not listening to correction is a mark of the fool. We might think if we reach a certain level of Christian maturity, we'll grow out of needing to be corrected by other people. But that is simply not the case. A wise Christian is always open to challenge and growth. Here's the Proverbs that back that up. Proverbs 12 verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. It's hard for us to imagine anyone loving correction. I mean, if somebody's pointing out a fault in you, you very rarely say, oh, what a wonderful day, I got corrected today. But if we assume we're sinners, isn't it better to have that sin pointed out so it can be repented of? I know a number of you here have gone through times of ill health, and I've often noticed that to begin with, you're kind of nervous about the whole thing, but at a certain point, you're actually quite glad when a doctor gives you a diagnosis, even if it's not the diagnosis you wanted, because at least now the problem is identified, we can get round to sorting it out, getting the medication we need. And similarly, we know there's something wrong with us. We need God's word and those around us who love us to point out what those things are. In fact, if you want to have a home among the wise, you will listen to correction. It says that in two Proverbs, Proverbs 15, 31 to 32. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Proverbs 19, 20. Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. The quickest way to be wise is to listen to correction. But the opposite is true of fools. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. The fool is constantly trusting their own path rather than consulting others to see if they might be wrong. Proverbs 19, verse 27. Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Or Proverbs 15, 12. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. If you hate correction, you will stray far away from the truth and from those who are wise. Now, most of us struggle with correction, but if we ignore it, all sorts of negative things can happen to us. It causes strife, which is Proverbs' way of talking about relational problems. Proverbs 13:10, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Do you see how pride and taking advice are kind of two sides? Pride is the bad thing, and listening to advice is its good counter. If you don't want to have strife and arguments, then listen to advice. It can also cause poverty and shame. Proverbs 13, verse 18. Whoever disregards discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. Now, of course, sometimes poverty comes despite doing the right thing, and Proverbs has things to say about that. And when one day we get round to looking at Proverbs on money, we'll see that. But often people end up in poverty because they don't listen to basic common sense. And we can think of times perhaps where we've seen people do that. And shame is also something we hate. But if we listen to correction, we'd be able to avoid it rather than it all coming out in one fell swoop at another time. Proverbs even go so far as to warn it may lead to death. Proverbs 15 verse 10, stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path. And the one who hates correction will die. Proverbs 29 verse 1. Whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. The final thing to say is that correction is the mark of a true friend. We often prefer people who flatter us and tell us how amazing we are. But true friends want us to be better than we currently are. Again, we did do a whole sermon on friendship, but let me read two of these for you. Proverbs 27, verses 5 to 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Proverbs 28, 23. Whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favour, rather than the one who has a flattering tongue. If you want to manipulate someone, flattery is the way to go, because we're all sinners and we all love to be told how amazing we are. But if you truly love someone and want them to grow, then you may sometimes need to wound them by pointing out a way they're going wrong. Now, of course, there are some people who love to go around wounding others willy-nilly. A faithful friend is more like a skillful surgeon cutting away at a particular sin. Now, some hypocrites, like the Pharisees in the New Testament, are like waving lunatics, waving their scalpel all around and harming people everywhere for no good reason. Proverbs isn't calling for that critical spirit, but it is saying that when a good friend has built up the courage to be able to point out a painful area that we need to grow, we should be grateful for them. Because let's be honest, none of us like doing that. If you do, there's something wrong with you. We point out the faults in other people because we love them enough to change. Listening to correction is vital. So we thought about listening before speaking, listening to the wise, listening to parents, and listening to correction. But there is someone we should not listen to. And we've already seen that in many ways. We should not listen to the fool. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. The fools, as we said before, are those who are sinful and stupid, and they don't have anything worth hearing, especially for this young man. Perhaps a wise man can find a diamond in the rough of someone who is not a believer, but Solomon's sons, being young in their Christian walk, they should stay away from fools and look to go after those who they can respect. But what if they're a really good speaker? Sometimes people are. Proverbs 26, 23, like a coating of silver dross on earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. It's a great picture. You've got this lump of clay that's worthless, and you've got some drossy silver that looks better than it actually is. And when you paint it over the top, it can look like it's solid silver. It's worth a lot, but it's worthless. And so it is when someone is an engaging speaker, perhaps as a preacher, or perhaps they're really good at giving advice online or one-to-one. If someone's an engaging speaker but a fool, man, that can be really dangerous. What if they speak the Bible? Proverbs 26, verse 7, like the useless legs of one who is lame, is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Now, it's not, I think it's not necessarily the best translation, because it gives off the impression that anyone who's disabled is useless. That's not really what the original intention is. A lame person seems to have legs, but because of their condition, they don't do their original purpose. So they're there, but they can't be walked upon. And so it is with a proverb in the mouth of a fool. It may be a wise saying in and of itself, but in the mouth of a fool, it's just going to be more folly. Think of Jesus being tempted by Satan. Satan quotes the Bible to him. But because Satan is, of course, the king of fools, what he says is untrue, even though he's quoting the Bible. So be careful which people you listen to. Has a person displayed a certain characteristic of folly? Not a one-off mistake that they've repented of, everyone has done that, but an ongoing character flaw. Now, that doesn't mean condemning them to hell, but it does mean discerning how helpful their advice is going to be. First and foremost, if that person doesn't know Jesus, you're going to have to at least put it through the filter of God's word. They don't really understand how the universe works. As we read right at the start of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. While there are things we can learn, and parents are kind of a special exception, generally speaking, if someone doesn't know the Lord, they're not going to guide you in right paths. Secondly, even for believers, there can be some who display foolishness. Look at their lives. With a fool, you will almost always see a wreckage of broken relationships. And that person, however engaging they may be, is probably not worth your attention. Secondly, in our day, we need to be particularly careful about the online voices that we listen to. The internet has made it far too easy for fools to get a following. There have always been false teachers or men who preached the truth but didn't live in accordance with it. But the internet has amplified their voices while their character is completely hidden. At least if you had a visiting speaker, you could talk to him after the service and see if he was a total fool. But nowadays, you have people whose teaching is spread across the world and you know nothing about their lives. And that's why we have constant scandal after scandal after scandal of someone who sounds so good, but whose life clearly doesn't match the things that they say. I'd urge you to prioritise listening to the wisdom of people whose lives you can see, not online personas or chatbots who obviously don't have any character at all. We've got to look for truth embodied. That's something we can really trust. Folly should particularly be ignored in decision making. Proverbs 24 verse 7 tells us, "Wisdom is too high for fools. In the assembly at the gate, they must not open their mouths." Now, the gates were the places where the leaders of the town would gather to make decisions. Now, because it was in the outdoors, there was always that danger that some fool could come along and start shouting their own 10 pence worth. And Solomon's saying, when you're in that place, get those people to close their mouths. It's the place for the wise to make decisions. Proverbs warns that fools should not be given the authority to make decisions that are going to affect a whole load of other people. And that explains the qualifications for leaders in the New Testament. We don't get the language of fools much in the New Testament. But the word for assembly in the New Testament is, of course, what we translate as church. Who gets to speak in the church? Who gets to lead in the church? Well, it's very clear who shouldn't speak. Fools. People whose lives are sinful and stupid. People who, to quote the character qualifications of Titus and Timothy, people who get drunk or pursue dishonest gain or who cheat on their wives. As Jesus said of false teachers, by their fruit you will know them. In the long haul, a person's life will demonstrate if they're worth listening to or not. And that should determine where our ears go. That brings us to our last point. We've covered listening before speaking, listening to the wise, listening to parents, listening to correction, not listening to fools. But ultimately, we should be listening to the Lord God. Proverbs 30, verses 5 to 6 probably states this most clearly. Every word of God is flawless. He's a shield for those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. There are many people who have a semblance of wisdom that you can hear from. Your parents, the godly older man or woman that you'd like to be like when you get to their age. Every one of them, though, will have flaws. They'll have their own struggles with sin. They will not see clearly in every area. And so when you speak to another person, you will have to weigh up their advice, even if they're the best of the best. But you'll never have to do that with God's word. Every word of God is flawless. He'll never give you bad advice. He'll never lie to you. He'll never lead you down a wrong path. His word is a shield from the challenges of this life. And what a hope that is if you don't know him yet. Our world is obsessed with self-help right now, and self-help gurus rise and fall time and time again. But if you listen to advice for long enough, you'll either find out that people contradict themselves or that there are different teachers teaching different shades of the same thing. How can you know what right is? Maybe you'll see them long enough to see that they weren't really what they looked like they were going to be. There's only one person you can trust to be without flaws. God is perfect and his way is perfect. If you take refuge in him, you can be forgiven your sin. And in addition, he can guide you in how to live your life. It's not always going to be easy, but it'll be a life worth living. You'll know that the challenges you go through are worth it because he has told you what the end goal will be. come to his word above the advice of anyone else? And Christian, are you listening to God's word first and foremost? Are you regularly in the Bible letting it just shape your thinking? Are you just letting sermons and Bible readings wash over you in an endless stream? Or are you reflecting on them and what difference it should make to your life? Let the word speak to you, because that is the Lord speaking to you. And when you're listening to others, listen to those who are closest to the word, who guide you away from themselves and towards what God teaches. Because there is more wisdom in the 1,000-odd pages of this book than there is in all of the world's books. I have a really bad habit when I'm driving with the sat-nav. I put the sat-nav on, but I don't really like Mrs. Google yelling out her instructions every 10 seconds. So I put her on silent, which is all well and good, until I kind of drift off into conversation with Nat or listening to the radio and fail to recognise that I'm driving in the completely wrong direction. Some of us have pushed silence on anything that would give us guidance in our lives. Whether it's wiser Christians, parents, friends, or even God's word itself. We're heading the wrong way, but we just don't hear it. There's only one human being who has never needed correction, and he's currently seated at the right hand of God. You and I, we need to listen. We need to listen before we speak. We need to listen to the wise. We need to listen to our parents. We need to listen to correction. We need to not listen to fools. But most of all, we need to listen to God. So brothers and sisters, take your fingers out of your ears. Turn up the volume on God's correction of you. And then you can drive straight on to the place God longs for you to get, to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ.